Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile finally come down to form one new man, one new humanity, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Well, that's an understatement from my guest, Perry Stone. Now, Perry and I bump into each other usually once a year, and it's usually in Israel. It's usually at the same place. But before that, I had the high privilege of interviewing Perry and his father, Fred Stone. And I have to tell you, I only spent a few minutes with your dad, Perry, who is now in heaven. But I was just so impressed with him. Tell me just briefly about your dad.
Of all the people I've ever known, and I'm not saying it because he's my dad, I say this very sincerely, he was one of the greatest praying men. He had operated at some point in his life. I have seen all nine gifts of the Spirit operate in him. In one church in Louisville, I saw seven of the nine gifts of the Spirit operate in one service. And he was so sensitive to the Lord. He always said to me, a lot of people know how to pray, but a lot of people don't know how to hear. And you have to be able to hear just as you're able to pray.
Just out of curiosity, did he ever tell you a prophecy about the future that God gave him that has not come to pass yet?
Yeah. Before he passed away, he saw, it was the vision of our yard. He said, when I looked out in the yard, there was a plastic a fork, a knife. And it was, they were buried one third in the ground, leaving two thirds out. And I said, what does it mean? He said, well, at some point, he said, I don't have a time frame. There's going to be a food shortage come to the United States. Back at that time, right after that, we started hearing about the bees disappearing. Of course, that's still an issue, that if the bees disappear, it actually takes out about a third of the food supply in the United States. Now, I'm not saying that's the fulfillment of it, but he was very specific that at some point that this was going to happen, because the third under the ground meant a third of, you know, your three, that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So a third of your breakfast, lunch, and dinner was going to be removed, leaving just two-thirds left. And I'm not saying it's that. It could be. It could be a lack of rain, a temporary famine that comes, I'm not sure. But he did see that very, very clearly. And he did tell me, he says, you're going to have to really, really pray and have the body of Christ to pray. And one of the things, Sid, he told me before he passed away, he said the Lord visited him, and I need to share this with your radio audience. He said the Lord visited him and told him that as we come in toward the time of the end, that ministers, people in churches, and Christians especially, are going to come under very heavy pressure with mental thoughts and attacks in their mind they've never dealt with before. He said some of it would even be sexual things and temptation with the opposite sex that they've never dealt with, never had to deal with. And he said, you tell them that the Lord spoke to me and said the solution is to pray excessively in the Holy Ghost, to use the prayer language.
And isn't it interesting? When I became a believer in the early 70s, there was the charismatic movement, full gospel businessmen. Everyone was praying in the supernatural languages. And today, it's even in the Spirit-filled churches, it's been demoted to the back room.
And people do not realize the significance of Romans 8, how the Spirit of God makes intercession for our needs. And I think, in fact, I know this, in our own meetings, we're seeing 50 to 300 people baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Sunday night services everywhere we go. There's a great revival. God's going to pour out His Spirit. And I'm fearful that the churches who are leaving out the...
It's called seeker sensitive. You don't want to offend a non-believer. And that's what's going on. And they're the ones that are booming.
And the Bible says that tongues are assigned to the unbeliever. I've seen many thousands of unbelievers come to know the Lord after a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in that manner. And I always tell people, look, this is God's kingdom, and He knows how to run it. And we're not supposed to be running it. We're just supposed to be supervisors and overseers over what he has entrusted us.
Okay, let me switch gears right now. You are considered a pioneer in understanding the Jewish roots of the faith. Just out of curiosity, and you were raised in a Christian home, how many generations of pastors?
Four generations of ministers.
Mm. Oh, okay, so I guess from the very beginning, you started studying the Old Testament and the Jewish roots.
Yes. One of the things that happened, Sid, honestly, was I went to Israel for the first time in about, I forgot the date now, it was either 85 or 86, got over there and saw two things and found out two things. Number one, that up in the northern Golan Heights, there were these large birds populating that did not used to be there, that after Israel won the war in 67, they started coming in. And at different times of the year, they migrate, millions of them actually migrate to Israel during the spring and the fall. And I read that verse in Ezekiel. It says that, you know, the flesh-eating birds would eat the birds of the captives and the kings in the Bashan area, which is the northern Golan Heights. I'm thinking, hey, these birds are starting to populate that will eat the flesh of these men, according to the Bible. And I was intrigued by that. And the second thing I discovered was my friend Gideon, who is my main guide in Israel for my entire life, he has a brother-in-law from Tel Aviv who helped to find all of the earthquake fault lines in Israel because he's a geologist. And there's a major fault line that runs across the Mount of Olives, which intrigued me because Zechariah 14 said that when the Lord returns, the Mount of Olives would split in two parts. One part would go to the east and one to the west. And that fault line, you can actually see part of it. It runs exactly the way the prophet saw it was going to run when the Lord returns. Those two things set me on a trail of saying, now, wait a minute, I haven't heard this reported in the United States. Maybe I should research this further and let people know. That's what got me going in the vein of the prophetic, is to go to Israel for the very first time. And I know, Sid, you go. People have never gone. Sid, we go too, but Sid does a great trip. And like he said, we always meet up. We always end up drinking coffee at Beth Shan. It seems we always end up there. You need to go sometime with Sid because it's just an absolutely incredible thing to see it happening and the desert's blossoming like a rose. Isaiah 35 talked about that. The Arava, that's the Hebrew word, south of the Dead Sea, you know, 52 farms down there now. The miracle of the Dead Sea of Ezekiel 47 becoming two separate seas. One part is given to salt, one part...
Wait a second, Perry. You are sharing things from the Old Testament. Don't you know the modern teaching is that God is finished with the Old Testament, finished with the Jewish people, finished with Israel as a special place? Come on now.
Hey, to that I would say there are too many lazy preachers. They just want to read 27 books instead of reading all 66 of them. Here's the fact. It's estimated that one-third of the actual prophecies that are listed in the Old Testament are yet to be fulfilled in some manner. One-third. Of not the whole Bible, but the prophecies. Now, that tells you...
A Christian is absolutely deficient if they don't read the entire Word of God. Genesis to Revelation.
Absolutely, because the Old Testament conceals the revelation of what's coming in the Messiah and coming to the earth. And the New Testament starts revealing that, which was already established by the prophets. But at the same time, let's take for example Zechariah chapter 12 through chapter 14. This whole section deals with a battle over the city of Jerusalem. Nations coming against it. And at the end of this battle, which is Armageddon, Revelation 16:16, the Lord will return to Jerusalem. And it tells you these incredible details. For example, it says this is the plague, how the Lord will plague the enemies of Israel. Their tongue melts in their mouth, their eyes melt in their socket. Now, we know that can be the return of the Lord. The Bible says he destroys enemies with the brightness of his coming. However, let's take a look at that from the military perspective. There is a neutron bomb, and the neutron bomb, what it does when it goes off, it actually melts the skin of a person. Most people don't know this, but it has been tested before, and it actually leaves things intact, like certain buildings, certain vehicles, it leaves them intact, but it does something with the water that, you know, we're like, what is it, 80% water, the human body is, and it just sucks that completely out of the body or out of any living thing, and it just basically leaves, you know, a little bit of a skeletal remain.
Which is what is described in Zechariah.
It's exactly what's described. And again, it could be the return of the Lord, which the Bible says he destroys his enemies with the brightness of his coming, you know?
Perry, my thought is that the Jewish people missed the first coming of the Messiah, the majority. The first followers, of course, were Jewish. I believe if we don't understand his second coming, many believers are going to miss his return, and they're all concealed, if you will. All the first coming of Jesus is concealed in the biblical feasts, and all the return of Jesus is concealed in the biblical feasts.
That's one of the greatest points, Sid, you just made right there. The Moedim, which are the seven feasts of Israel, they are God's calendar. And they're not just God's calendar established for ancient Israel during the spring and the early summer and the fall months. The major prophecies of the Bible, up to the fact that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is crucified right near the time of Passover, and Passover was, in Exodus 12, the Lamb and the Lamb's blood that brought redemption. Beginning there, they reveal the truth of what will happen in the future, not just the past. If we want to run through this real quick, you know, at Passover, you have the picture of the Lamb being crucified, which parallels Exodus 12, and then they came out with unleavened bread. They did not put leaven in the bread. They didn't have time. So then after Passover, we come into unleavened bread. That's when Jesus, who had no leaven — leaven is a picture of sin, he is the sinless Lamb of God — he is wrapped up in the linen in the tomb during that time. And then you have first fruit. There's a whole law of first fruits where the priest would go into the field. He would get the first ripened grain, cut it, take it to the temple. He would offer a lamb on the altar before God early in the morning. Well, Jesus he's alive at first fruits. He shows himself alive to his disciples. He ascended to heaven between the time he's resurrected to the time he saw Thomas and said, "Touch me," and the time he saw his disciples later that evening. He ascended to heaven to present himself as first fruits before God with those Old Testament.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought, Perry Stone. I want you to get a hold of his book. Every Christian in America must read this book, The Prophetic Future Concealed in Israel's Festivals. And then two DVDs. One is based on a vision that Perry had, Mysterious Events Surrounding the Catching Away of the Saints. And then the one for sure you're going to want to watch, America and the Fullness of the Gentiles, all available for a gift of $45. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.